Now, this question, is there really a heaven and a hell? Now, we've only gone 1 month into this new year, and already I've attended 2 funerals, and in the very near future, I know there's going to be a 3rd funeral for this year. And it brings us up very much to realise that we're not here forever. There's going to come a time for every one of us when we pass from this world. I don't know whether, like me, you look at the authors who are listed at the bottom of the hymns that we sing and you look at their lifespan. But did you know that the man who wrote the hymn that we've just sung, Robert Murray McShane, it says that he was born in 1813 and he died in 1843. And if my maths are correct, that means he was 30 years old when he died. Now, I wondered, as we were singing that hymn, did he realise that before he reached the age of 30, he would be no longer on this earth? But he was able to write it with absolute assurance of where he was going. And that's the wonderful thing. Sadly, of the 2 funerals I've attended this year, one was full of joy and assurance because the person whose funeral it was in their lifetime had put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Sadly, the other funeral wasn't quite the same because as far as we know, every indication was that the person concerned hadn't put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and therefore their future was sealed in a place of torment and punishment. Now, although we live in a very enlightened world where there are all sorts of arguments given as to why we can't believe in Christianity, why we should believe in evolution and so on and so forth, it's interesting how many people, despite their background, believe that there's something beyond this life. It's amazing how many people, whoever they are, who lose someone to death will say, they're looking down on me. As though death isn't the end. There's something beyond the grave. And it's at this point where we should consider this important question of, is there really a heaven and a hell? Now, like the questions we've already considered in this series, the answer is a very simple one. Yes. But we need to look at what the Bible has to tell us if we're going to say yes. Where's the basis of our belief in such a thing? So let's turn just for a moment to Luke chapter 16. Because Luke chapter 16 is a remarkable passage. It records the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, God's Son, born as a baby at Bethlehem, grew up to be a man and lived on this earth, taught some wonderful things while he was here. One of the ways in which he taught the truths about God was by using parables, earthly stories with heavenly meanings. But I believe these verses don't record a parable of the Lord Jesus. They record factual data that the Lord Jesus is relating. So let's read them together. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now we get some very clear teaching in this account of the Lord Jesus of heaven and hell. Two destinations for those who die. Heaven and hell. So let's just consider a little bit more about what the Bible has to say about these two destinations. First of all, let's just consider what the Bible has to say about heaven. Now, we need to understand that our Bibles were written in predominantly two languages. The Old Testament was written in a language, Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in the language of Greek. And so, therefore, we need to understand the two words that have been translated in our Bibles as heaven and hell. So first of all, this word heaven. Well, in the Old Testament, it's the word shemayim. And it occurs 428 times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, which is, again, I've said, is written in Greek, it's the word uranos. And that appears 275 times. So the Bible has a lot to say about heaven, if you add those two numbers together. Now, what does it mean then when it talks about heaven? Well, it can be used in one of four ways. It can be referring to the sky. The sky. We call that the heavens. And as an example of that, here we have a quote from Luke chapter 17, verse 24, for as the lightning that flashes out of the one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. So the word heaven there is referring to the sky, where we see the lightning when we're experiencing a storm. So that's one use of the word heaven in the Bible. Another use of the word heaven is referring to space, where the planets are, where the galaxies are, and all the stars. An example of that is to be found in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So there it's talking about the space, the area of space into which man seeks to look with his telescopes to find out more about what's out there. But that's another use of the word heaven in the Bible. Another use, and we're now perhaps getting round to what we would consider to be what we mean when we talk about heaven, it's the abode of God. Now, it's very difficult to explain this clearly, Because God is everywhere. He's an omnipresent being. He's everywhere. But it is quite clear that he also has a central place where he reigns, where his throne is. And that place would be referred to in the Bible as heaven. And an example of that, the psalmist writing in Psalm 11 verse 4 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyelids behold, his eyelids tests the Son of Man." So it's the ruling centre of where God is also referred to as heaven, the abode of God. And then the fourth use of the word is referring to the place where the angels dwell, where the angels are. And in Matthew 22, we read, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." So we find there that it's the abode of where the angels are. So that's the use of the word heaven in our Bibles. But what about hell? Now this is perhaps, when we consider the two, the one we least like to think about. We like to think about heaven. It's a nice place. What about hell? What does the Bible tell us about hell? Well, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, there are a number of words that are translated hell in our Bibles. The first one is the word Sheol, and that's used 65 times in the Bible. And when it's used in the original, it's translated 31 times to mean hell. We'll come on to what that is in just a moment. But 31 times the word hell is used. Now, if you have a modern version of the Bible, a modern translation of the Bible, it's most likely that in fact it does retain the word Sheol. But if you have an authorised version like myself, then it will be translated hell. 31 times it's referred to as the grave. In other words, the place where people who die go. Now that might be a physical hole in the ground or a tomb, but more likely, it's the place where their spirit goes when they die. The grave. The place of the departed. And three times, it's referred to as the pit. The pit. So if you have an authorised version of the Bible, those are the type of words that have been translated from this word, Sheol. If we move into the New Testament, which was written in Greek, then the word very often that is used is the word Hades. And 12 times that is used. In the King James Version, they will continue to use the word hell. Modern translations will probably keep the other version of Hades, the original Greek word. And what is Hades? Well, it's the unseen, hidden world of departed spirits. Where man's spirit goes when he dies. Now I know I'm assuming at the very start here that we are more than just physical bodies that are sitting on chairs here in this room at the moment. The Bible teaches us that we are tripartite beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. And the body, yes, that will die in time. Through illness, through old age, through accident, whatever. But the soul and the spirit lives on into eternity. And I've said that even people who are not Christians will say to about people who have died, they're looking down on us now. Because you see, I believe what the Bible teaches, and that is that God has placed in the heart of every man a knowledge of eternity. Everyone deep down has that feeling that there's more than just this life. Hades, the place of departed spirits. There's another word that's translated hell in our Bibles, and it's the word Tartarus. It only appears once in the whole of the Bible, and it's translated hell. And it's the place where the angels who sinned were placed by God. Because here we have it, it appears just the once in 2 Peter 2 verse 4, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, to Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." So this is the time when the angelic beings led by Satan rebelled against God, and those who joined Satan and rebelled with him were placed in this place of confinement until, as Peter says here, the great day of judgment. Tartarus, the place where the angels who sinned have been placed. And then there's another word, Greek word, that's translated hell in our Bibles, and that's the word Gehenna. And again, in most versions of the Bible, that will be translated hell. And I would think it's probably the one that most people would think of when you talk about hell, because pictures that have been painted and drawn to represent hell are based on this. It's the place of fire. And that's what people often refer to hell as. It's the place of fire, because that's where punishment takes place. Now, what else can we learn about what the Bible teaches about hell? And what I'd like to do is to now return to the account that we read from Luke chapter 16. The Lord Jesus is talking about two men who died, but who went to different destinations. Now, we have to understand, first of all, that this that the Lord Jesus spoke here happened before he was crucified on the cross. Now, the cross is central to our understanding of heaven and hell. It's central to our message here at Collier Row Gospel Hall. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ makes all the difference. Time, as we know it, is based upon the cross. We have BC and AD. We're going to see in a minute that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross and was buried, he didn't stay there, he rose again. And when he rose, a tremendous change took place. We'll see what that is in just a moment. So, first of all, we've got this place of hell. Sheol, Hades, hell. That's how we would understand it. Now, in this account that the Lord Jesus gives of these two men who died, one of them, it says, goes to Abraham's bosom. Now, another word that could be used to describe that is paradise. Paradise. And that's where this man went. He went to Abraham's bosom, a place where he wasn't under punishment, a place where he was enjoying rest. They were people who were believers. Now, clearly, they didn't know about the cross, but they did know what the Old Testament had to say about a coming Messiah. They were men and women who took God's word and who exercised faith in that word. They trusted themselves to God, and they believed what God said about righteousness and sinfulness and so on. They couldn't believe in a cross because the cross hadn't come. But they looked forward to that day when God would send his Messiah. So when they died, they went into Abraham's bosom. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, that area of Sheol was emptied. Says the Apostle Paul, he led captivity captive. And I understand that that's what he meant. He took those who before he had died were in Hades, but in paradise, enjoying the blessing of God. they transferred to be with Christ in heaven. Notice the transfer has happened from hell to heaven. But that transfer only happened once, and it only happened to those whose faith was in God. What happened to the others? Well, they were in the lower parts of Sheol or Hades, the lower part of hell. Unbelievers. And that didn't change as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. That has always been the place where those who have not taken God at his word, those who have not had faith in what God has said, those who have not put their faith and trust in the provision that he has made through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where they go when they die. It's a place of torment. We read that in the account here in Luke. But Abraham's, he said, here it is, verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Please do not think that when a person dies, they simply go to sleep and they don't experience any sensation at all. That's not what our Bibles teach us. The Bible teaches us quite clearly that when a person dies, they go one of two places. They either go with Christ in heaven. The Apostle Paul said to die and be with Christ is far better. That's the hope of all who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. We shall go to be with Christ in heaven when we die. But for the unbelievers, those who are unrepentant, those who refuse to accept what the Bible teaches regarding our sin and our separation from God, and to acknowledge that God has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven as we put our faith and trust and confidence in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on our behalf at the cross, then when they die, they go to this place of torment. Serious. Notice from the account that the Lord Jesus Christ gives here that once you're in that place, you can't come out of it. There's a great gulf fixed between the two. So that those who are, sorry, those who are in the lower half can't transfer to heaven. There's a great gulf fixed. So the decision that you make now affects the destination for your eternal future. So the message we preach here is vitally important to everyone, whatever age you are. McShane was 30 years old when he died. Most of us sitting here think we've got years yet before we're called to die. We don't know what illness might strike us. We don't know what's going to happen to us. And that moment when we pass from time into eternity, how we've treated, how we've reacted to, if we've accepted Christ as our Saviour or not, will determine that destination. In the future, the Bible talks about us being, those of us who are with Christ, being with him in heaven for eternity. And eternity being where Jesus Christ is. Or, for those who are in the lower part of hell, Sheol, Hades, they have the great white throne judgment of an eternally righteous God to face. The Bible teaches that there's a time coming when the dead will be raised to appear before God. And God will judge them, and he won't just judge them on whether they've been good or bad. He will judge them on the basis of whether they've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and have their sins been dealt with because of that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as a result of that great white throne judgment, and those who appear there will automatically condemn themselves, then they are assigned, it says in the book of Revelation, to the lake of fire. What we would call Gehenna today. Eternal fire. Eternal punishment. Serious issues. Is there a heaven and a... Yes, there is. Where are you going? Heaven or hell? Well, you can know. You can know for an absolute certainty that if you do nothing, you'll go to hell. But if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging that you've got sin in your heart, but that the Lord Jesus Christ died so that you could be forgiven, and you trust that work that he did, then you can go to be in heaven. Where will you spend eternity? This is not 60, 70, 80 years here on earth. This is forever. Vitally important that we ask ourselves that question and we know the answer. Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You will be saved from an eternity in hell. You will be saved to an eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is indeed a critical question. Do you know where you're going? Are you absolutely sure because your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Robert Murray McShane, when he wrote that hymn, wrote it with absolute assurance that he was going to stand with Christ on high because his faith was in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for him at Calvary. Can the same be said for you? Let's close with a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we have considered very solemn issues.